Our next presentation is titled, Does Reverse Osmosis Water Affect Glyphosate Efficacy? I'm not gonna try to pronounce her name, so I'll butcher it. Next speaker.
My name is Misha Manucherry, and I just wanted to thank you for sticking around this afternoon. I realize it's one of the last talks of the day. I did present some of this work last year at the Beltwide with just a year of data, so I'd like to think of this talk as kind of a wrap-up with 2 years of work looking at water quality and how it affects glyphosate efficacy. And I want to start with a map of the United States showing different hard water values, and it measured hard water by calcium and magnesium concentration in parts per million, which those two cations are typically present in the highest concentration. When we think of hard water, we think of them. And you can see that in West Texas, where this research is being conducted, we are in what might be a hard water zone, which is anywhere from 200 to 250 parts per million, just on this map. But in some areas, we're much higher than that. Cation antagonism, or hard water antagonism of glyphosate, isn't a new concept. There's several work that have documented antagonism looking at different cations, calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc, in a number of weed species as well as in a number of crops. And there's a couple of theories as to how this antagonism occurs. One of the theories I like to call in the tank is antagonism actually occurring when you are mixing your spray solution. So in the blue box, I've outlined a glyphosate molecule and then some possible binding sites where, for example, calcium as our cation can bind. When you have this new complex, it's not readily absorbed by the plant, which can decrease glyphosate efficacy. Another theory, which you might call the pile effect, and is often presented by North Dakota State University, they're doing a lot of work, is that antagonism isn't occurring in the tank, but more so at the leaf surface. So here's two different diagrams showing this thought. On the left is without ammonium sulfate. We're still having glyphosate and calcium bind, but the interaction is actually precipitating out of solution, and that's what they're attributing the decrease in efficacy. And when you add ammonium sulfate, calcium is able to bind to sulfate instead of glyphosate. When we add ammonium sulfate, ammonia and sulfate disassociate, so some of our present cations might bind to sulfate, and that will precipitate out instead of glyphosate plus calcium. So two different theories, and we're going to look at how to possibly overcome some of this antagonism. Reverse osmosis water, or RO water, is simply a water filtration system. We have water passing through a semi-permeable membrane, and the hope is to get any dissolved inorganic solids that might be present in your water sample to be caught on the other side. And on the left here, I've outlined a table of just some typical rejection characteristics of cations that might be present. There's a couple of factors that go into an RO system and what different cations or dissolved inorganic solids they're going to reject. And some of those factors are how new your system is, your upkeep, if you're maintaining your filters, and what kind of pressure you have going into the system. So the objectives of this research are to, one, determine if glyphosate efficacy is affected by water carrier source, or hard water. Also, to determine if the addition of ammonium sulfate will improve efficacy when our water quality is poor. And then also to determine if there is a benefit in using RO water, which is really our overall objective in this research. We started out with a water source collection. There are 23 water sources that were collected from 14 counties in West Texas. And here's a list of those water sources. And I just want to briefly explain how we selected the water samples that we did. We were shooting for a low water hardness, medium, and a high, and then comparing that to our RO water source, which in this case is really our control. So our low end, we're about 185 parts per million, and then our high above 1,000. So pretty high for cation presence when thinking about that map that West Texas is 200 to 250 parts per million for a high water area. With several field experiments in 2012 and 2013, I am going to outline six of those today. The design for all of these studies was a randomized complete block design, and we have three factors: water sample, those five sources that we selected, plus the RO water source, glyphosate rate, 11 and 22 ounces per acre. I realize 11 ounces or maybe even 22 to some of you is low, but some of these differences are very small, and we wanted to look at them, not have too much of an overpowering control. So that's why we looked at them at that low rate of 11 ounces. And then the presence or absence of ammonium sulfate used at the recommended rate of 17 pounds per 100 gallons. So the first study in 2012, this is looking at volunteer wheat control 28 days after treatment. On the y-axis, we have percent control from 0 to 100%. Sample was not significant for this study, so I've averaged over sample. Sample might be water carrier source. And you can see that at the higher rate, 22 ounces per acre, these red bars, no difference when we added ammonium sulfate to the tank. But at the low rate of 11 ounces per acre, we did see an increase in ammonium sulfate. Volunteer wheat control, this is another study, same year. Plants are a little bit larger at 8 inches, and we didn't see a water carrier source effect. However, we did see an increase across glyphosate rates when we added ammonium sulfate. Moving on to another test species, Palmer amaranth control, 21 days after treatment. This is the first time we did see a water carrier source, and you can see for sample 10 here in the middle, we had a decrease in efficacy. However, similar trend for the other water sources, including our RO water source. Palmer amaranth control, same year. Overall control has decreased. Our plants are fairly large. And of course, we had a glyphosate rate response, which isn't a big surprise, but we also had an ammonium sulfate effect. Again, with the presence of ammonium sulfate, we see a slight increase in glyphosate effectiveness. In 2013, again, we've used volunteer wheat and Palmer amaranth. This is 28 days after treatment. This looks similar to the first volunteer wheat graph I showed you, where at this higher rate, 22 ounces per acre, we don't see a difference when we add ammonium sulfate, but at the lower rate of 11 ounces, we do. And this is the last graph for these six studies, and this one stands out. It's the first one where we really see a benefit from RO water. So I want you to focus in on the darker orange bars. The darker orange is when ammonium sulfate was not present, and you can see that this is our RO water source. We did see an increase in efficacy compared to our collected water samples when we used RO water. So this was one of the objectives we were trying to answer. This is one study out of several over 2 years, but we did see a response from RO water. In summary, for the field work, there were differences in efficacy among water samples at the 11 ounce per acre rate in just two of the six trials. Treatments including RO water did not significantly increase efficacy, with the exception of the one trial that I just presented. And remember, that was at 11 ounces per acre with no ammonium sulfate. And finally, the addition of ammonium sulfate increased efficacy in five out of the six trials. Often, again, that was at the low rate of 11 ounces per acre. And really briefly, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to touch on some follow-up work. We moved some of this research into the greenhouse, and we had some similar objectives. We wanted to know what cations specifically are responsible for decreasing efficacy, at what concentrations do we observe that decrease in efficacy, and then again, if we increase rate, we add ammonium sulfate or use RO water, do we see an offset in some of those negative interactions? So just to show one graph from greenhouse work, and I'll set it up for you. This is biomass grams per plant on the y-axis, and on the x-axis, calcium concentration in parts per million. And this was a similar trend that we saw in the volunteer wheat studies, that we see a decrease in control at the low rate when we do not use ammonium sulfate. But at the high rate, with or without ammonium sulfate, we see a similar level of control. Future research. For the study, we want to assess additional weed species at varying growth stages, also look at additional herbicides, and assess glyphosate and other water conditioning agents, which is really where this work is going to move towards. Time after mixing is a question that often gets asked when I'm presenting water quality work. People want to know, how long did you wait after mixing before you made your applications? How long does it take for some of these interactions to occur in spray solution? So that's another area that we'd like to look at. I'd like to thank the Texas State Support Committee, Cotton Incorporated, for funding this research, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Were you using the RO water as an internal check?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't highlight the hard water value for RO, but it was 17. So it was a pretty new system that we had just put in, so it was working relatively well.
And why did you not use DI water? Why did you choose RO instead of DI?
Our main objective was really, if a grower is going to invest in an RO system, is this the best system to use? Any other questions?